Broadcasting from the University of Windsor, you're tuned in to 99.1 CJAM FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
With titles that no longer fit on a business card, my guest Jeff Wilson's credentials include JD, attorney licensed in Ohio and Michigan, MBA, MHCA, CMA, CBM, Bachelor of Science, and AA in management, marketing, computer science, finance, and law. He has also completed advanced training in real estate investing and obtained licenses in insurance, financial investing, and he's here today to talk about personal finance, student loan debt, obtaining a job, and his book, Life's Cheat Sheets, Crucial Success Habits School Never Taught You. Jeff Wilson, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, great to have you on. Wow, that's quite a list of credentials there.
I did. I had that goal that I would have more letters after the comma following my name than before, and I met it.
Yeah. You need one of those, you know, those business cards that they actually open up.
That's right.
There you go. Or a fourfold. Yeah, a tent.
Have a tent card.
So let's talk about student loan debt, first of all. How bad is that problem?
That it has definitely started getting out of hand. We're at over $1 trillion in total debt now, surpassing all credit card and all auto loan debt, which to me was a huge thing to state. Credit card, I thought, would be just monstrous, frankly, but it has surpassed both of those, and 30% of those loans are already past due at this stage, with 9%, another weird stat I saw was 9% of the people that just graduated a couple years ago are in default already.
Wow.
Default, which is obviously way past due. You've already given up.
Yeah.
And at this point, 80% or more of those loans are government-backed, which means taxpayers are on the hook to come up with the freight if more and more defaults continue to occur.
So what are some of the things, maybe some of the reasons they can't land a career, even after college or university?
They have several things sort of working against them right now, and baby boomers have stayed in their jobs longer, so it didn't open up a number of those jobs they were hoping would.
Right.
Their retirement was hit so heavy with the stock market problems that they've had to extend their working life. Some of the retireds have gone back because they lost so much with that. There are people that were downsized have taken lower jobs than they're really qualified for, so they've taken some of those more entry-level professional jobs, I'll call them, that somebody out of college would get into. Many millions of jobs, obviously, were cut and eliminated, so that cut out a lot of those roles that leaves too many people for too few roles, basically.
Yeah, you mentioned the baby boomers, and in fact, I guess, I mean, we're living a little longer than we used to as well, and that must account for, you know what I mean, people's continuing work.
And they're continuing, like you said, they're continuing longer, plus, like I said, I've read numbers of stories about people that were already retired that went back because they had lost through the stock market and the economy things.
Sure, yeah.
That they have gone back, or even a number of them, here's another piece I've seen more recent, is many of them co-signed for this college debt, and their kids can't get those jobs that'll pay that, so they're actually on the hook to pay.
Wow, yeah.
And so they have just picked up more debt they didn't plan on that wasn't in their retirement.
As far as the students go, then, this is something you say they should have been planning well long before graduation. Tell me about your guerrilla occupation search system.
What that is I call it guerrilla from the guerrilla warfare mentality.
Sure.
Kind of guerrilla. And you may know of the guerrilla series of, like, guerrilla marketing and guerrilla sales. There's a series out like that. It's that kind of mentality. You've got to step outside the normal boundaries and become unique and think of other ways to get to your outcomes, sort of like a guerrilla warfare kind of thing where you have an enemy, which are competition in this case for jobs, and you've got to outsmart and win that battle somehow and figure ways that they can't, that they won't be doing, that you're going to be make a unique stamp on that potential employer, or set up your own business, however it is, that you're going to be able to get that role or get that business off the ground. And so I walk through it. It's a long plan, so I obviously can't go into the whole thing. But nonetheless, I actually use, I'm a sports guy. I've played sports since way young and still play competitive sports. And I use it as you got to start with this job occupation search. It's the biggest game. It's like LeBron in the Miami Heat just recently. He's been wanting that title forever.
Yeah.
And he that last game, he was giving a talk to the other teammates and stuff, and they had to figure ways to make this happen this time. Same kind of mentality with this search is started as early as possible. I say start in high school, and I did the same, and build some connections, get in some groups, get some part-time roles, do what's called job shadows, which means basically, let's say you think you want to go into accounting, you want to be a CPA, and you go ahead and you get a hold of a couple CPAs, or maybe you're the parents of somebody you play on a team with, or in a church group, or in some other, you know, chess group, or whatever it is, and one of the parents is a CPA. You get a hold of them, and you go to work with them for a couple days. And you obviously have to set it up, and you're going to get turned down here and there, but find somebody that will allow you to just sort of shadow them. They'll give you little tasks usually during the day and stuff, but you'll get a feel for what that is about right now. And you're in high school in this case, in my example. And so you know if that's something for you, and if not, you know it now. You don't go put 4 years into this or 3 years or whatever and a lot of money. You figure those things out right away and get yourself into that market. Get those connections made. And now you can put that on a resume to potentially get a part-time job or some kind of intern role. And maybe you do that while you're going to college to get that degree you need for the, you know, CPA exam and stuff. So you see how I'm it's getting that mind going way back sophomore, junior year. And that's when I did it, when I was going into freshman and sophomore. And you've got that mind going already because you want to get ahead of the group. Don't want to be part of the crowd. You want to be unique and set some kind of personal brand so that you are remembered as, I used an example on a couple yesterday that, let's say you are in accounting, but you have helped a couple of the salespeople work out problems with a couple of their customers and not being able to pay, but get a payment plan together and keep them as customers because they're good payers usually, but they had a little problem. So you work with this couple, three salespeople, you work out their problems, and you keep the customers. Now, in the salespeople's minds, you're not one of the accountants. You're the guy in accounting that helps us keep our customers. Now you've just become unique, and you're more valuable because you have a personal brand, in essence, is what I'm calling it. You have a particular other skill that the other accountants don't have. So if they go to cut accounting, if you have to, you know, downsize the company any, you now have some other skills and value that may put you ahead of the group.
You advocate forming long-term relationships that can be reached out to during times of bad economy and so forth. And you mentioned if you're in groups and things like that, different events and whatnot, if you want to form a relationship with someone or these people and you haven't worked for them or anything, that's a great way to go ahead and do that is by trying to get an internship even for a couple of days or whatnot.
Right. That's exactly what you need to do, because probably one of the hardest lessons I learned, and I fought this lesson for a long time, frankly, was many of the roles, even when I got out of law school and I had 20 years of running companies and all kinds of stuff, I saw many roles go to people that didn't have anywhere near my qualifications, but they had gone to high school with the person that's in a role in that company that talked to the person that hires for that role, and they just got it.
Right? There's a lot of truth to who you know, isn't there?
It is. Well, you saw, probably if you saw the table of contents, it is who you know in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't always happen, but in the Toledo, Ohio market here where I'm at, which is a pretty decent-sized market, I was amazed at how many of those roles went to people that weren't anywhere near qualified as much.
Can we program ourselves to reach our goals?
Definitely. That's one of the other things I've learned over many years, and I've seen lots of other people do it too, that your mind, many people say they don't have an inner voice that talks to them. And then usually about the same time they say that, their inner voice says, see, I told you you didn't have that. They don't realize they're listening to their inner voice.
Yeah.
It happens. It is there. And unfortunately, most minds, and these are lots of psychological studies that have proven this, your mind has like 30 to 50,000 little thoughts through a day. I mean, that's a lot of thoughts, and they're tiny ones. Obviously, a few seconds here or there, and you see something, more thoughts, and then more thoughts, and more thoughts. Many of those thoughts, they say up to 75, 80% can be negative a lot of times, or judgmental, or in some kind of negative fashion is the point. And so if you start focusing on whatever those things are that make you a success, you want out of life, and you use some of those techniques I show in there with visualizations, affirmations, and a daily routine to feed yourself more positive rather than real negative stuff like the Sandusky trial I just saw this morning ended, mm-hmm. and he's going down for 45 counts and all. That's all negative. Most everything on the front page is negative.
Oh, yeah.
Don't feed yourself with that in the morning. Feed yourself with your list of goals and maybe the steps you've got to do this week to do those. And if you focus on those and actually say them out loud, that's another technique that as you hear them, it molds into your mind and your subconscious. Actually, most people don't know, I think it's about 80 to 90% of your mind is subconscious stuff. The active sort of conscious side is very little of your mind, and you don't use a lot of that other, but you can program it to keep doing, basically working on ways to get you to whatever your outcome, the outcomes you want are, while you're sleeping. Your subconscious works at night. I just did it a couple of nights ago. I read stuff about, I think an interview I was doing that next morning. I was living that through dreams even. I woke up thinking that. And so that's your mind still doing that over while you're sleeping. And you can do the same thing with those goals, those things you want to get out of life, and the pictures your mind thinks in pictures. And so the visualizations of something, you in the completed picture of that goal, whatever it is, if it's a particular degree walking across stage, or if it's like when I hit the number one bestseller list, I had a picture of my book that I had transposed from the actual bestseller top 10 list, and mine was at the top. And I had that posted in front of me. It's still there, actually, right now. But nonetheless, I hit number one bestseller on a big campaign. I had a lot of work to do, but that hit my mind every single day, multiple times. It was sitting right in front of me, taped to the side of my computer terminal.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how you do those things, because the more you keep it top of mind, the more your subconscious is working on the background to show you ways to get it done.
You talk about schools leaving out so much crucial information. Why is it you might feel that they missed the boat on that? Why aren't they teaching some of these things that, you know, talking to you, you can see so clearly that they should be teaching?
Right. Why they do, I think, is I've been involved somewhat in those, and they have a lot of federal and state guidelines for curriculum they have to meet. And I think they are caught so heavily in all of those, you know, so many math, so many science, so many history, so many English, all those things in college prep stuff to get past the ACTs and that both of those, the college side and the high school side, were not stepping back to the big picture and saying, let's assume folks don't go to college. They go to cosmetology school or to airplane mechanic school or whatever, you know, a technical kind of skill. If you look at that table of contents that I have, things like we said, goal setting and achieving, marketing and sales for everybody, guerrilla occupation search, bartering and negotiation skills, effectively managing your time, all those things, they are going to have to do almost. They're going to have to run into that. They're going to run into mortgages with a house, you know, balancing a checkbook, hitting your retirement goals, all those things they're going to hit regardless of what path they take. And so I think we're missing that piece. That's what I call the streetwise skills.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost have to run into them regardless of whether or not you've been taught anything about them. And so that's the whole key. I would advocate that we relook at those curriculum requirements and say, let's replace one of those sciences with goal setting and achieving and writing those down and getting them, you know, posted everywhere and all that stuff. And we replace one of them, you know, one of the histories with this and one of those with that, because frankly, I had a lot of school. It was all typically when I was running a company, I did those concurrently. I'm not real big on going to school. That's not real big with me, but I have all those degrees that seem to contradict that. But I did those while I was actively in usually a full-time role. And so with all of those, the business, law, finance, all those things, those are pretty related skills to what I'm talking about, but I didn't even get a lot of meat in those kinds of courses with these streetwise skills that are really practical-based. You got to know them, or you're going to basically trial and error and have problems until you finally get it down.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk more about finances and also Jeff's book, Life's Cheat Sheets, Crucial Success Habits, School Never Taught You. We'll be back right after this.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, welcome back. Financial expert Jeff Wilson with us today. Let's talk about negotiating everything you spend. For students, it's obviously important to save whenever you can. Do they realize how much of their spending can actually be negotiated and how much that can save them in the long run?
I don't think most people do, actually, is what I've continued to run into. I have continued to, actually this morning, I was at a high-end estate sale, and that's just one of tons of techniques I show. I have a free, right now it's a free e-zine where I give success tips once a month. They can go on the site, I think we gave it already, lifescheatsheets.com. They can sign up there, get it for free, and in there, one of the sections I give each month is usually three or four actual techniques I've used to save money on different things, lots of different ways. And they're very practical based because I've literally done them in potentially that month. And so I give a lot of those in there, and I've worked, for instance, one example, recently somebody was at $200 on a cable TV kind of internet bill and $200 on a cell phone bill each month, and they couldn't afford everything. I'm like, that's way too high. And we worked with them, and I was able to take both of those bills down to $60 a month each. And yeah, you might not have HBO, let's take a look at it here. What do we need? Not what do we want? What do we need? You're not going to make it. You're going to go bankrupt if you don't change some things. And so the point is, that's just two examples, actually, where many times people just blow that right off, and they say, I can't reduce any of these bills. And if you look at their line by line, look at each invoice or each expense line, almost all the time you can reduce just about every line. And it's, unless somebody's really done this already, but normally they have not. And so it's definitely an area where what I've showed others and even students getting out, if they're having problems finding a particular role or something and they're taking part-time or nothing right now, is take a financial evaluation of where you're at and make it real easy. Look at income, look at expense and every line in there, and what's your net. And your whole goal is to increase the net. So you've got two ways to do it. You add income or you take away expense, or you do both. And that's sort of a down and dirty way for somebody that's not financially or number oriented, which many are not, to really scour that. And there's a little technique I show them. Take a little, there's a form, a very basic form. You can do it on a piece of paper. Track every single expense where you spend any money for the next month. And I'm talking anything, $2 for a latte, whatever it is, put it down. And then at the end of that week, month, however much time you have, but a month is a good picture, take a look at that and categorize those expenses. You know, $50 on coffee and $20 on snacks. And put them in categories and look at where you don't need, but you can cut because it's a want. Mm-hmm. and you can always find ways. There's never been one I haven't looked at that I haven't been able to say this, and we can cut them by this much. I know we can do, and we can do it now. And see where I'm coming from, the mentality. You saw I've done business turnarounds.
Sure.
For I've worked on a number of them and led one way back when I ultimately bought that company. But the point is, when you go into one of those, just like you do with somebody here that's I'm a real estate investor and have been since high school, and so I go in, I've been bidding on lots of foreclosures and bankruptcy homes, and it's because they obviously had too many expenses for their income. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to a number of these folks, because there's short sales involved there too, that you talk to them. And that's the whole key, is you've got to go in and take a look at what's your income? Can you increase that? Are there ways? And there are several ways you can do that. And you can even use the negotiation skills there to get a raise, to get extra overtime, to get a second part-time thing, whatever it is. And then the expense side the same way. And you can almost always come to a much better net or a much better increase on the net just by doing those exercises.
Let's talk about your book, Life's Cheat Sheets, Crucial Success Habits, School Never Taught You. What motivated you to write it?
I actually had my oldest nephew graduating from high school at the time, and I had finished the sale of the company and finished law school and all these other things. So I was, at that point, looking at what I want to do next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort of have a mental bucket list, I guess I have called it after the movie. And one of those things was, I had several people tell me, you've got a huge background and all these original stuff. You should, like, write books and go speak and share stuff you learned from all these things with others. And that continued to stick in my mind. Plus, he graduated, and it hit my mind, just like I've been talking. Wow, I'm out 25 years now almost. And look at the skill sets that I've actually used heavily in getting all the, in achieving all the things I have, and I realize, and I just throw out a general figure, but about half of them I probably learned in class, and about half of them I learned what I call on the street from all kinds of other stuff, seminars and specific things that I said, I need to know how to do this, and I need to know more about this, and I need to know more about that. And that's how I learned these street skills that I'm calling, because they don't come out in all those classes I had. And so I said, look at what he and all everybody else coming out of high school and even undergrad I knew, and even in my case, all the grad schools, are not really getting in classwork that they will need. And that's when I started putting these pieces together in these big, pretty important chunks that, you know, each one was, like I said, building long-term relationships and networking. That's
sure.
One chunk. And the occupation search. And notice I don't call it job search. And
mm-hmm.
there's a real reason for that. The company I ultimately did the turnaround and bought into and became a CEO, I was an actual job assessment, placement, and coaching firm. And one of the biggest first steps we did was a huge assessment on aptitudes, abilities, interests, skill level, all that stuff on a person that then matches you up with Dictionary of Occupational Titles, called DOT, a huge book that matched you up to types of roles then that you match to with all those other things that we've just assessed. And so it puts you into what you're into, basically, and what you're best at. And then, so now you know the kinds of occupations you should sort of look at, and then you can go into these job shadows and tryouts and interns and try these to really sort of make certain you're getting into the right thing before you're putting a lot of money into college and other coursework to, you know, focus on that area. You've tried them out. And so my point is that's a pretty big chapter, frankly, that I went and tested the high school and undergrad market for titles when I was putting this together. It was a technique somebody showed me. And in that, I also tested them to say, here's the subjects I'm looking at adding. Are there any other subjects you'd like to know about that you're not getting? And overwhelmingly, many showed up as, I got to know how to find a job. And so I added a big chunk on that just because that was their need on top of the other things. So that all of that is really the why. I saw a big need. I saw a void. And the last piece, there's a secondary market I don't mention as much. Mm-hmm. It's what I call the down and outers. Which, remember, I said I did a lot of investing, bidding on houses with people losing their houses and
right,
stuff.
Right.
And in bankruptcy, I was opening at that point, I was going to open a bankruptcy law firm. And so I saw lots of people getting downsized, you know, the mortgage problems, the balloon kinds of things, the variable rate mortgages, all killing people and just putting them out of their houses and stuff. And I said, there's a boatload of people that are down and out. That's the down and outers. I said, I got to find a way I can help, because I at least have been in that market heavily in the practical-based kind of skill level. And so they're the second group that, using that turnaround mentality, I want to turn around the down and outs and get them back on, focused on their goals and on what they want out of life, get past where, you know, where we just were at and where we're at now, and we got to go forward. So that was the other drive, really, was to help both of those groups.
What's interesting, obviously, about the book, these things that aren't taught in school that you have in the book are things like meditation and yoga for your mind and your health and time management and technology advantages. That's a great one there, taking advantage of some of these things to give you an advantage over students, graduates right, looking for work.
And a lot of that, even, I get into, I already have crucial financial habits school never taught you. I drafted almost the same time, but I'm going to stage the launch of that, because this initial launch book that went to number one actually has the first three books in it, those three big chunks, which I put into a system, the PAL system, Programming Your Mind, Accelerate Success with Street Smart Skills, and Life Planning 101.
Yep.
Those are actually three full books.
Wow.
And that's why this first book is 300 and some pages, and really you like books to be in the 120 nowadays, because mm-hmm. people don't like to read a lot. And so they like shorter things. And so those three are going to come out on their own individually soon here. And then really the fifth book coming out is the financial one, which is already written. But the point is, in there I get into what I said about the financial evaluation. The financial one is very heavy on those three things: income, expenses, and net. And it's focused on breaking those pieces down into the normal areas, but the income is broken down into an occupation or role working for somebody else, plus having your own business or having it on the side.
Right.
And so it's other income streams based, and that technology one you mentioned is tied as much to that having your own business as it is or not, but to use all those, there's so many software packages and tools online now and apps that can do about anything. And you can save a dramatic amount of time. I just learned, I was on a Facebook webinar earlier this week, and the lady's really good on Facebook. And she showed you through the new timeline technique how to build custom apps very quickly with a little tool online. I didn't know that. I mean, and that's my point, is I learn that kind of stuff every week, actually, some mm-hmm. new thing like that. And there's so many things like that you can do to streamline stuff, keep track of things and not fall behind, not let things fall through the cracks.
Right.
And you can just utilize software like crazy now.
All right. Give us your website address again and where listeners can find your book.
Sure. It's Life, LIFES, Cheat, CHEAT, Sheets, it's plural, SHEETS.com, and it's plural because it's the whole series. And on there you can sign up for that free success tips. Then you can actually also get three free chapters on that, one in each of the sections, so you can test it out and take a look at it beforehand. And that book is, you can go to bookstores, and if it's not on a shelf, you can request it. I have a distribution channel set up where they can mail it right to you quickly. It's on typically on the Amazon, Barnes & Noble, meaning typical sites. You can go to my site even if you want. If you want a particular saying written right from me in a signed book, you can go on my site, email me, tell me what you want, and I'll ship it to you direct. So I even offer that as an option. So if you want a motivator, that you have a particular saying, I can put that in the book for you.
Great.
One last thing I just remembered,
sure.
On any of the social media sites, I'm on most of them as Jeff Wilson Today. My name's way too common to get Jeff Wilson.
All right.
But it's on Jeff Wilson Today if you want to follow any of those.
Well, appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, Jeff.
I appreciate the time. Thanks a lot.
All right, so check out lifescheatsheets.com. Jeff Wilson today. Search him online. You'll find more information on the website and his book as well. Sign up for your 3 free chapters. Next week from Italy, Francesco Alessandrini will be on the show to talk about strange, unusual, and mysterious things, crop circles, and more next week on You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.